Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Now, before we get started with the message today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for your blessings. Father, you've been so good to us, so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide by your Holy Spirit. Father, you know the need of the hour better than we do. Guide our words. Help us to speak your message and accomplish your will. Father, we pray for the listener that you would help them to see that their only salvation is through Christ. And Father, we pray that you would help those that are saved that are listening, that they could see, Father, their need to serve the Lord in all His ways and all what you've given us in your Word. Help us to grow from your Word today. Be the people that you would have us to be in this world. And for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come today, we're going to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 26. Before I begin reading there, I want to read a scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. It says, "There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God." Now, as we read here, this passage of scripture from Ecclesiastes, he's letting us know that our labor and our work, that it's good that we get to enjoy it. And you know, the more prosperous you are in your labor, the more you get to enjoy it. And we'll try to deal with that in just a moment. But I want to turn to Matthew chapter 26, as we had mentioned, and begin reading in verse 6. It says here, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And Jesus understood it," or when Jesus understood it, "he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this," excuse me, "that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Now what we have here is an account that a very expensive ointment, if you research it, I've found different things, but I guess about the most accurate that I've come across is that it says it was about a month's wages. I've heard people go as much as a year's wages. I don't know how much it really was, but I think it's most accurately about a month's wages. Now, in our day and time here in the United States, that's probably, you know, an average wage across the whole United States. I know it would probably be above this if you take out maybe the people that are not able to work and things of this nature. But nevertheless, about $2,000. Now, $2,000 is a good bit of money. It just is. For most people, $2,000 is a good sum of money. It's a decent amount. It's not just something you just go and spend and not think anything about it. $2,000, you've got to do some considering. And just going with that amount and just looking at that, you know, that's a good bit. And these people were saying, well, she wasted this. This could have been sold and, you know, the poor could have eaten. And I'll say this, $2,000 buys a whole lot of meals at McDonald's. That buys a pile of hamburgers, doesn't it? It does. But Jesus rebuked his disciples. He said, the poor you have with you always. You're always going to have the poor. He said, but you're not going to have me all the time. And he said, what she did was for my burial. It was for the glory of God. And we're going to come back to that in a little bit. But I want us to bring some things aside. You know, I've seen it in churches, and I've dealt with it. I actually preached this where I pastored not too long ago. And you know, I tried to make the statement to them, you know, that I've seen things even within church where people have envy and jealousy. And I just don't find that in the Scripture. You know, God says, and I know as far as New Testament giving, we don't go by just tithing. I think it's a good example to follow. Tithing was even before the law. Abraham offered a tenth of all that he had unto Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. I will understand that scripturally. I think it's a good starting point. And I do believe also, as it teaches in the New Testament, as God prospers us, so should we give. God desires a cheerful giver. He desires us to purpose in our heart of what we're going to give and live by that purpose. And again, I believe, you know, 10% is a good starting block. And for that cause, I look at it this way. If a millionaire gives 10%, he gives $100,000, right? If he's in the church and he's given to the pastor and to the missionaries and to the church, he'll give $100,000. If somebody making $100,000 a year gives 10%, they give $10,000. If somebody making $10,000 a year gives 10%, they'll give $1,000. Now, one's giving $100,000, one's giving $10,000, but they're giving the same percentage. And I do believe as we prosper in life and as God blesses us, we can probably live off a little bit less, but that's between that person and God. What they give is between that person and God. But I'll say this, it would take 10 years for the person making $100,000 a year to give what that person making $1 million gave in 1 year. I'm not trying to lift them up, I'm saying it's equal. See, in God's eyes, that's an equal thing. I'll say this, it works the same way in taxes too. Because we have a lot of people today that are kind of greedy and kind of say, well, it's not fair that this person has more. Well, they earn more. They might have labored more. Most of the millionaires in America are first-generation millionaires, which means they didn't inherit the money. They worked for it. They earned it. They got that way the hard way. I shouldn't rob them for that. I shouldn't look down upon them for that, and neither should they look down upon others. And the Bible clearly teaches that those that are rich in this world need to be ready to distribute and give. I well understand that, but that's a free will offering. But I've seen sometimes when somebody gets something nice in their life, that other church members try to look down upon them. Or if somebody suffers something in life, there's sometimes some people in church that look down upon them. And both are wrong. Both are wrong. Both need rebuking. Both need to be told that they're wrong, because we can see in Scripture if a man's laboring and he's been faithful in his labor and he's prospered more than others, God says, listen, he gets to enjoy the fruit of his labor. He says that is from the hand of God. That's the way of God, but we've got a lot of people today that don't believe that. And I'll say this, what's modest in a lot of areas of the world, and I'm using moderation here, not just modesty in the way that they dress, certainly that would be covered. But I'll say this, there's different lines of moderation. And let me say some things. Is there a time that we spend money and it's a good thing? You know, some of you that are listening to me today are probably married. Men, how much did you spend on your engagement ring? Now I know because of different lines of wealth and money that a person might have that might be different for different people. Some people might have said, well, I was able to spend $500 on my wife's, you know, engagement ring. Some men might say, I spent $1,000, some $2,000, some $5,000. Some maybe $10,000. And some people say, what a waste of money. What a waste of resources. You're going to spend the rest of your life with somebody. Was it a waste? Now, do you need the ring to get married? Nope. You don't. Do you have to spend a great amount of money on a ring? No, you don't. But I'll say this, when you're buying one ring for somebody, you know that one ring that's signifying your love, and I'm just speaking as a man, and I'm going back to when I fell in love with my wife and I knew I was going to marry her. I'll tell you, I saved up for a while before I even saved up for a house, and we didn't have a whole lot, but I'll tell you what, I saved up for a good while for that ring. And I couldn't buy her the biggest ring, which we had had discussions. She knew I wanted to marry her. And one thing that she told me, she said, if you ever do buy me an engagement ring, she said, I don't want a big diamond. She said, I've got a little hand. I've got little fingers. She said, I don't want to draw attention, which showed modesty. And I was thankful for that. But even though I wasn't going to buy her the biggest diamond, you know what I said to myself? I said, I'm going to buy the best diamond I can find. You know, I started looking at the ratings and I started to find flawless diamonds and different things. I'm not going to tell you the price that I spent, but I'll say this. It was a good bit of money for the little bit of money I was making at that time. And I've never regretted buying that ring for my wife. I've never regretted it. I never said, well, I could have spent $500 less. We could have had a better honeymoon. There's another thing. I spent money on a honeymoon. I probably spent more money on the honeymoon than I spent on the ring. And we didn't have a great, you know, I say we had a great honeymoon, but what I'm trying to say is we didn't do something elaborate. We didn't go to some elaborate place and just spend a pile of money. We stayed in a cabin in the mountains. And, you know, our adventures were going and looking at some caves and going and hiking in the mountains and, you know, playing putt-putt golf at a local place, just doing stuff like that. We just, you know, tried to enjoy our time with each other, looking at nature and enjoying things. It wasn't the most expensive or elaborate trip, but it was a wonderful trip for us. We still try to go back to the mountains when we can. We enjoy doing that. We enjoy taking our kids there. And is it a waste of money when we do that? Now, if I didn't have the money, and again, depending upon how much money you have, depends upon whether it's modest or not and what you're doing, isn't it? You know, there's some things that I'd like to do for my wife later on in life. Don't know if I'll ever get to. Don't know if we'll, you know, have the finances, be able to do it. But there's things that I'd like to do for her. And we don't do those things all the time. You know, there's some things that's kind of like a 1 in 10 year type of event. Or, you know, sometimes you got, you know, maybe like your 25th anniversary or your 30th anniversary or your 50th anniversary, something like that. And you might do something big for a certain big occasion. Did you waste money? Now, again, you have to put that in its proper place. But there's some times that I've seen people that somebody saves up and does a nice thing, and other people in the church kind of look down on them and they're like, well, you could have done this with that money. And some of the same people are the most giving people in the world. Again, if somebody's a millionaire, and I actually have known somebody that was a millionaire and they actually, you know, lived on about half of what they received every year. The rest of it they gave away. So if you're thinking $1 million a year and somebody's giving away $500,000 a year, that's a pile of giving. But for some people that's not enough because they're still living on $500,000 a year and they might drive a brand new car. Well, a brand new car for somebody that doesn't have a house note, doesn't have a car note, is no big deal. Them having a brand new vehicle is no big deal. If you're making $40,000 a year and you got a $60,000 car note, that's a big deal. That's not living within your means. You're going above what your labor says you can do. Now again, modesty, moderation, all these things come into play in all these things, and I don't want to overlook that. Because even if you're a millionaire, there's limits. Modesty is taught. And we need to be modest with what we have in life, even when we have more in life. But I'll say this, if a millionaire has you know, a $300,000-$400,000 home, comparably speaking to what a $100,000 a year person is paying for a $200,000 home, that's pretty modest. And we got to put things in their proper perspective and in their proper place. And we need to rightly divide. And I know there's a lot of study on modesty you can go into and moderation of living. But there's also the scripture that talks about that a laborer is worthy of his hire. That we get to enjoy the fruit of our labor and the work that we do. I'll say this. I've got some Lee blue jeans. You know, for some people, Lee blue jeans would be expensive. You know, I've got a pair of khaki pants that I bought one time. They were made in America. I forget the company. Not going to try to call the company name out because I'll probably get it wrong. But those khakis have lasted me for years. I've worn them a lot of places. I don't wear khakis too often because I'm usually in a suit. But there are certain times I'm not wanting to wear a suit, but you still want to be semi-dressed up for something. But man, those things were so well built. I still have them. I've had them probably 10 years and they still look nearly brand new. But I paid a little bit more for them because I knew I'd get more wear out of them. Was that a waste of money? Or was that a good use of money? Now, I wanted to spend on that side because we're living in a society that some people want to look down upon people for having nice things, and there's also people that want to look down upon people for having less. We need to judge people based on who they are as an individual and not on what they have or have not, but their character, their love, their giving. And sometimes people say, well, I don't have any money to give. I tell you what, you can give of your time, you can give of your talent, you can give your energy. You know, there's other things we can give. You know, there's been times when I didn't have money to give to somebody, but I knew that they didn't have, you know, some clothes, and I may have had an extra, you know, shirt or an extra pair of pants or, you know, something that I could give to them, an extra coat or something that I was able to give to them. I couldn't give them money, but I was able to give them something. There's sometimes that they might not have needed clothes, but they needed food. And there's sometimes that I had to open my deep freeze and look in there, and I said, man, I could do with a couple of bags of less corn, or, you know, I got some deer sausage here. I can give them some of this deer sausage. And, you know, there's times where I might not have had money, but I had other things to give. And so there's always a way to show our character. And we need to judge people by their character, not on what they have or have not. And that goes for both sides. And it's so important. Now I want to come back to this statement over here. This woman spending this, I don't believe she was a rich woman. She might have been. But I don't just see that scripturally. It seems like it was something that, if you look in other places of the scripture where this is talked about, in Mark and John, that she wasn't just the richest person around. It cost her to save up and do this for the Lord. But she did it for the glory and honor of God. You know, I've seen people that could have done more things for themselves, but they gave unto the Lord and gave unto others instead. You know, I know people that make $100,000 a year that give more than people that make $1 million a year. And which shows the heart of the people. I've seen people that make $50,000 and $25,000 that give more than somebody that makes $100,000. You know, I've seen people's hearts. And I've seen their giving and I've seen their love. This woman took something, $2,000, and I'm just using that as an example. I know that's not the price that would have been in that day. But a month's wage, my goodness, she could have gone somewhere really nice. Or she could have bought her some very nice clothes and done some very nice things for herself. But instead, she spent it for the glory and honor of God. Now that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Nobody forced her to do it. Nobody made her do it. She chose out of her own heart to do it. That makes a huge difference, doesn't it? Makes a huge difference. I love it when people have a giving spirit. I'll never forget when I first surrendered to preach. There was an older lady at one of the churches that I got to visit and preach at. That she gave me $100 bill. $100 might not seem like a lot to some people, but as you know, for one person to give $100, that's a big deal. It just is. But I could tell you, by looking at the way that she lived and the things that she had, that $100 was a lot. And I've thought back on that many times, and I've tried to think, and I've tried to be appreciative, and wondered just how much did that cost her. Not just financially, but spiritually, what did it mean to her? And I found out she didn't do that just to me. She did that to all the young ministers that surrendered to preach. I had other ministers that, you know, have come up over the years, and they've made a similar statement, and they told me where they were going to church, and I just automatically know. I know who it was. And I know she's not rich as far as the world's concerned. I know she's rich in the Lord. But to just look at a gift like that and to think how much it cost. I know there were times in my life where giving $5 was giving a whole lot. And I'm not talking about regular offerings I gave to pastor and church. I'm talking about just an almsgiving or something like that. I can remember when $5 was a big deal. And, you know, I know that there's probably times that I've thought about and prayed about, and I said, you know, there's probably times in my life that when I was able to give $100, it didn't mean as much as the $5 I gave. Because I was giving everything I could to the Lord. And it makes all the difference in the world. Is there anything wrong with going on a nice trip with family if you're able to do it? No, there's not. And people shouldn't be looked down upon or mocked or told they're horrible people because they're taking a trip with their family, or you know, if somebody gets a nice vehicle or a nice house, as long as it's within their means, within their budget, and they're not, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul, so to speak, you know, that, you know, I'm glad for people when they are able to get a nice house, or somebody gets a, you know, a new vehicle, or, you know, somebody gets a nice set of clothes or something like that. You know, I even saw one time where somebody, you know, bought several preachers a new suit. I think it was like 20-something preachers, a lot of them missionaries. And for some of those people, it was probably the first new suit they had ever owned. And a person had the means and felt like they were going to, you know, buy them a new suit. Didn't even let them know who their name was. And that's good. It's a, if you're going to give, you do it for the purpose of giving, not for personal recognition. And, you know, I heard somebody make a statement about it. They said, well, you know, that's a pile of money. Because it was like $500 suit, so $500 times 25 people. And I was thinking, you know, how are you going to criticize somebody for doing that? They had the ability, they had the desire, they wanted to do it. And for some people, they were getting their first new suit. And I thought to myself, how can you be critical of that? They're doing this so that those men have something nice to wear to church. Something that's going to last them for years, be made of good fabric and, you know, last for a good number of years and be a blessing to them and encouragement to them. And yet there were some people going, we could have spent that money on something else. They could have done this. You're just like, really? They're trying to do a nice thing for the work of God. And we're going to belittle it. Again, I know modesty comes into a factor, but I can tell you this, you can buy a lot more expensive suits than $500. That's just a good suit. And for some of those men to have a good suit, especially if it was their first one ever, I was thinking, man, how must that make them feel? That their work is appreciated, that their labor is appreciated, that, you know, somebody's just telling them a thank you, and then somebody else come up and criticize. I was happy for those men getting that suit. I was thankful for whoever was the person behind it that did it. And I thought, such a wonderful gesture of love. If we're not careful, we'll get the heart that these disciples had at this time of saying, what a waste. And Jesus had to turn around and say, this isn't a waste at all. She's done this to honor me. You're always going to have the poor with you. But I'll say this, I hope you just have one wife. Live with her all the days of your life. I hope you women have just one husband. I hope you want to do nice things for one another. I hope that you want to buy gifts for one another. Again, not taking away from the work of God. God teaches us how to give. As God blesses you in life, I hope you give more. I hope you do more. But my goodness, if you've worked hard and God's blessed you with some labor, and again, I hope you have a giving spirit first. That's first and foremost. But if you're doing something nice and in modesty, and it's an appreciation of what God's done for you, whether it's appreciation for your family, appreciation for your spouse, appreciation for somebody else in the church, appreciation for the church, appreciation for the missionaries, whatever it is, there's a certain portion of what you labor for that's yours to enjoy. Don't misuse that enjoyment. Don't waste it. Certainly don't want to encourage that. And I hope this message is understood in its right context. But I'll say this, other people in the church, you need to rejoice. You need to be thankful, especially if you know that person's a giving person and not a selfish person. You need to be rejoicing that they're able to enjoy the labor and what God's blessed them with. Let jealousy go out the window. Don't covet what somebody else has. Don't be envious. Don't let those type of sins come in. Rejoice with one another. Encourage one another. And as God blesses us, make sure that we use what we have to bring glory and honor to the Lord. There's a lot of work that can be done for the Lord. Make sure that we're doing it. Make sure that we're putting it first. But there are some things in life that God does allow us to joy with the labor that we receive. Don't take away from that either. Rightly divide the Scriptures. Don't be one that just goes around criticizing because somebody's able to enjoy something or somebody's able to have something nice. If it's in their budget, if it's in what they can do, if they're doing things in modesty, let's be happy for one another. Let's rejoice with one another. And let's not be greedy. Let's not be envious. Let's put away that kind of stuff. But I do want to encourage also, again, especially those of you that are rich in this world, as God blesses you, don't just say, well, I can do more and more for myself. It's more blessed to give than to receive. As God prospers us, so let us give. Let us be willing to distribute. And let us not be selfish as we go through this life. I pray that we can rightly divide all that, put it in its proper place, that we can see the blessings of God in all aspects of our lives and not look down upon people, whether they're rich or poor, but try to be the encouragers and the people that God wants us to be. This is the burden that God has given us. If you would have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-544-7920. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. We pray this could be a blessing. To Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory, for the good that is accomplished through it, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.